dish in the lab. That's called culture too. Okay? So I kind of think I'm almost more along that line of culture. What is your yellow jello? What are your dreams rooted in? Now that was a deep dive. Because it's hard to get outside of ourselves and look back. Because we ourselves made that yellow jello without even realizing it. See? I like to talk about the culture of our heart, the culture of our mind a bit. The heart culture of teachers. Well, I know no better way to say and describe and summarize and idealize our yellow jello than to go to our Lord Himself. What verse? 2 Corinthians 8, 9, right? Now I think this is this type of a diagram. And it says, He was rich, yet for your sakes, He became, say it. That's right. Can you keep on going? That we, through His poverty,
could become rich.
Mm-hmm. Can that be the growing medium for your dreams for your students? It ought to be. Right? That's a terrific verse. And it would help us all to meditate on that verse more than what we do, or meditate. No difference. Right? 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Here's another reference that perhaps we ought to be thinking about, and that's Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the what?
Issues of life.
Let's think about that word issues just a little bit. If you look that up in the dictionary, issues mean matters of life, important topics, or problems. That's one definition of issues. So we have the issue of global weirding or warming or whatever. All right? That's one issue, and it's quite an issue. All right? But an issue also means, a definition of issue is that which flows forth. And these ideas are sort of connected, just like culture, the way we do things around here, and growing medium are connected. In the same way, or sort of the same way, we have issues, problems, important topics, matters of life, and issues, that which flows forth, being connected. You see, it's kind of like a water fountain. You go over to a water fountain, you push that button, and what's inside issues forth, right? And so keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So just in a little bit, in approximately 3-4 weeks, something like that, you're going to push the play button, and there's going to be issues, right? There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be problems. There's going to be important topics. There's going to be matters that matter. But there's also going to be issues coming from you, right? And this is why we need a dream. This is why we need to think about what direction are we going to head. We need to have some internal realities. We need to have some roots in a sound yellow jello that the issues don't become problems. The issues don't become issues. Or that our issues aren't issues. We'll think about that for a while too. But our aspirations and our desires and our ideas, they're going to form our classroom culture. And I don't know, when I stop and think about these things for very long at all, it becomes very important that we need the same thing that our Lord had. And that's a lot of humility, a lot of deference to the Father's will, as the song says, and my dear Redeemer and my Lord, I read my duty in thy word. Such deference to thy Father's will, right? An interesting phrase, worthy of us, of our emulation, isn't it? So we do absolutely need humility. And the other thing that we really, really need, it's already been said this morning, it's been said many times at this conference, is we need not a self-centered orientation, but we need a student-centric view. right? Because that's why we're having school. Did you know that? Oh, yeah, it's the students, right? And sometimes we get so wrapped up, it's possible actually to get so wrapped up in our own dreams that we forget that it's about the students after all. Are you teaching for yourself? Are you teaching for your own advantages? No, there are many, right? Are you teaching for the parents? Well, yes, maybe sort of, kind of. Are you teaching for the school board? Does our school exist for teachers? No, it exists for students. So I'm here to suggest that whatever dreams, visions, nightmares you have, it ought to be student-centric, right? Student-centered. I don't know. I think I'd rather speak at the beginning of a venue like this than at the end, for several reasons. The one is I kind of like that idea of going out into the field of snow where there are no other tracks, right? I'm intrigued with that concept. I'm afraid that I'm going to tell you stuff that you've heard already, and so on. But yet, at the same time, I have noticed, and you probably have too, that these teacher conferences, kind of a motif develops, right? And that motif has somewhat of a center. And maybe that center for you is the thing that you're hearing over and over again. So whether I kind of get the feeling I may be contributing to a center of exhortation to selflessness and personal character and integrity and thinking about the other person. And if that's what's happening here today, well, maybe that's what God wanted to happen to us. I like to tell a story. It seems like maybe this conference, I didn't hear just a whole lot of stories. Stories are nice. Sometimes they help us understand life better. But maybe the reason we don't tell more stories is because they end up being too focused on just one point. But once there was a school, a very good school. It had a very dedicated teacher. But this teacher had a dream that this school is going to have a school yearbook, an annual. It hadn't heretofore. But in his mind, part of his personal mental culture was that every legitimate school has a legitimate yearbook. So his sense of legitimacy was wrapped up in that concept. And the way he pursued having a yearbook, it was reflected in that idea, right? And so students might ask him, so why are we having a yearbook? Because good schools have good yearbooks. End of quote. Fist on table, right? And so we jolly well had a yearbook that year. When it was produced, how do you think that teacher related to typos? One of the typists, and this is before the days of autocorrect and spell check, whenever they typed from, see, that would be F-R-O-M, they typed F-O-R-M. I'm getting confused. Yeah, they mixed up from and form, right? And because of his mindset, because of his vision, his pure, unadulterated, holy vision for a yearbook, all right? Well, he needed scraped off the ceiling with a putty knife, right? And it was hard work. But what he didn't realize is one of the students, everybody was going to sign their name, right? One of the students signed their last name with a cursive B instead of a cursive K. And the reason this happened is because this student, it was the first year that she had attended a school, and she had been homeschooled up to this point, and cursive writing was not their thing. So she had never written in cursive. She had never signed her name in cursive. But here we were required. You know, every legitimate school has a yearbook with students' names signed in cursive. Fist on table. Okay? So she did the best she could, right? But he was up against the ceiling because it was beneath his dignity. It did not match his vision for a yearbook to have a name signed that was supposed to be K and supposed to be B. So he got that student up on the board in front of the rest of the students. He practiced cursive Ks for a while. Right? Something's wrong. I'm trying to illustrate that we need humility, right, in our vision. And we need a student-centric vision. How did Jesus respond when he lost? Maybe when he lost a student, or when the lesson was lost, how did he respond? Did he need scraped off the ceiling with a putty knife? No. It was because he was humble, and because it was about the student after all. And in my own words, he basically stood back, and he watched the student go, and he said, "How nearly did he make it? So close!" Right? And then he went on. Perhaps if you're wondering, where do you come on the continuum of humility? Where do you come? Where do I come on the continuum of self-centric versus student-centric? It's how do we deal with things when they go wrong and when our dreams aren't realized. Indulge me just a bit, but is it a good and a holy thing to love prayer? How many think it's a good and a holy thing to love prayer? I set you up for this. I suspect that you suspected that too, right? But I'll try to be nice. Right? Be not as the Pharisees are, for they love to pray. Right? That they may be seen of men. And that is super, super close, actually, to what we're talking about right now. Right? We're talking about the idea that we may be self-centered in our dreams for our students. And we might love to teach, which is a good and a holy thing. But if it's to be seen of men, this whole business of dreaming about things, we'll get our reward. Oh, yeah. If you want a public spot in the Mennonite community, be a teacher. You'll live in a fishbowl. People will see all sorts and sides and angles of you that you didn't even see before. And you can't, because you're you. You're the goldfish in the bowl. Right? You'll be seen of men, all right. Why do we love to teach? Is it because of a student-centric orientation? As I said before, we aren't having school for the teachers, we're not having school for the board, we're not having school for the parents, we're not having school for the government. All those have vested interest in the school, no doubt. But the reason we have schools for the students, it's not about making a name for yourself. It's not about making your parents proud. It's not about living up to someone else's expectations. If you want to go make a name for yourself, be a salesman. I hear that most of those organizations have Salesman of the Year awards. Right? You might want to check those out. Or try for the presidency. Right? You get publicity ratings all the time there. It isn't really about your own wishes. If you are, maybe you should go start your own business. Maybe you should if you're too concerned about your own wishes. You get to decide when you start. You get to decide when you stop. You get to decide lots of things when you're a business owner. It's not about your own schedule. If you want a neat and tidy schedule, go work for McDonald's. You can get more money now, entry-level position working at McDonald's, than you ever did since the history of mankind. Right? And they provide a very consistent schedule. Right? If you want it, go there. You're not in private practice. If you want private practice, go start a cabinet shop. Right? You're in the business of helping and caring. It's a service profession, helping other people enhance the quality of their lives. Okay? That's the culture of Christ-based attitudes for teaching. Right? It's not about your wishes. It's not about setting your own hours. It's not about shutting yourself behind closed doors. Right, all those things are available in other professions, but we were hired to affect lives. And I quote here from Harry Wong, "You were hired not so much to teach third grade history or physical education as to influence lives." Right, and I'm sorry for grinding on this so hard, but yet I'm a little bit afraid about talking about students' dreams until we have the right mental and heart culture and position about this stuff, right? Touch the life of a student, and you will have a student who will learn history, physical education, even science and math. Clean the eraser, staple all the papers, and turn cartwheels to please you. Again, from Harry Wong. The motto of the teacher's heart, in summary, needs to be this. And let me just erase the board and start over. We don't have an eraser.
Or we'll just never hear that.
Oh, thanks.
This is from which our dreams should spring.
Right, now we're ready to dream about our students. Right? How does that look? Well, I'm going to attempt to show you how this looks. A little painful and a little awkward.
Forgive me. I'm trying to say this is how down below pushing up looks.
But if we're content with this, if we're at peace with this motto, it doesn't matter if it's a bit contorted, if it's uncomfortable, if it's hot, if it's sweaty, and if it's like this.
That's grass, please.
Okay. Does it look like grass? Please, somebody. Does it look like grass?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Right. Because you're down below pushing up. Right? All right, now let's talk about some specific dreams for our students. And I would like just to hear from you on this. Would you be okay with that? I mean, I don't want to stand around and wait just real long, but I think that good teachers are always thinking and dreaming and planning about their students. And while you think just a little bit, I'm going to try to get some air moving in here. Why? That's too much for you. For me, there go my papers. All right, what are some dreams that you have for your students? Any that you'd like to articulate? This is kind of, in some respects, I know that you all have some expectations of where you want to be in 6 weeks from now. To me, that's always the one of the uncomfortable parts. This is me starting school in the first 6 weeks. Okay? You're not quite sure how to carry this thing. It's a little bit uncomfortable. You don't know your students. I like to be 6 weeks into school. There's a rhythm, there's a stride, and everything else. But it's a little bit difficult to articulate and to package what I actually have in mind when we say having a stride and all that sort of stuff. Yes.
So maybe more of an overarching dream is that school as a beginning of their life education, not as a required minimum of good now getting done.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. How should we write this? School is the beginning of a life of education. That's the concept. And maybe we should spend time refining that. We're not going to spend just a whole lot of time refining it. That is a really good concept. This is not just something, yeah, we want our students to graduate, but do we look at graduation as the end or the beginning? It's the end in some regards, but it's the beginning in most other regards. Have you ever heard of a commencement speech? Commencement speeches are given at the end of a person's formal education. And as a youngster, I thought to commence meant to end, because I understood commencement speech. Well, that's exactly wrong. Commence means to begin a thing. Right? That's the idea. Thank you. That's a good one to take. Maybe it'd be easier. I have a bunch written down.
Yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. When they ask me to tell me, I was supposed to sit there and put my finger in my cheek deep and then tell you what the fruits of that, right? I can do that, but yes.
So I don't know if visualize stuff helps, mm-hmm. but and if you know what the school setting is there, LeGrand, the school, you can get a pretty good view of the valley, right?
Correct.
A pretty solid group of farmers in my classroom. And last year was just a real blessing to be able to look out and see these different guys farming and knowing that these fellows here are the guys getting what they need to succeed in that world. You could almost picture it. So
here now, there tomorrow.
Yeah. What do they need to get? What do they need to be successful in what you're seeing happening out there?
It's fascinating to think about that all the knowledge that we have in this world continues to just die off. But that's only half of the picture. We have this constant influx of the younger generation that they fix the people's traffic lights that previous generations installed, and on and on and on. All right? And so we're trying to prepare tomorrow's farmers and movers and shakers in the world. Right? The world needs to continue. Swept, and the families are going to need mothers, and General Mills is going to have to continue to produce Cheerios, and the garbage trucks are going to have to continue to go down the road. And none of these jobs are losers' jobs, by the way. I like clean countries. I like countries that have trash all over the countryside, whatever. I was in Bangladesh, and it's awful over there. They need garbage truck drivers. If their school were producing more garbage truck drivers, it'd make a better country. It stinks. How should we write that on the table? Definitely open something very, very good there.
Maybe we just say expanded worldview, which
my youngest son at 21 has been to Ukraine 3 times. Both of my other sons have been to Bangladesh, one in a public school in Bangladesh, teaching English in the public schools in Bangladesh, another son in a camp clinic in the Rohingya refugee camp. It's just way beyond. And it's the stuff that I did that I think prepared him for that, or didn't prepare him for that. But it was the things that, you know, like, okay, like I had the policy, the boys got to fill the wood box when we had a wood stove, right? That was their job. And I tried to tell them, it doesn't matter how they fill the wood box, they can do whatever they want to, so long as the wood is in the box and the walls aren't damaged from the stair going down, the house is okay. So probably not a good idea to take a wagon. You might want to consider a box, or I don't really care. I don't care when you do it. I don't care how you do it, right? But so long as daddy goes to fill the wood stove and there's wood in the box, right? So that meant that if the children were in bed, And they were, and I went to, you know, stoke the fire and fill up the stove, and there wasn't wood in the box. There was a knock on the bedroom door. And it hurt. I felt like a mean old dad. It's not wood in the box. Oh, man. Can't you get it? Right? Mm-mm. It's not a problem. It's up to you. Right? Then you feel bad. Right? But then you tell them, good job. You're going to stay warm tonight. Thank you. Right? But if we have, do we have a dream enough to be a little mean? Do we have enough dream? I think we were talking something along the line of this, that our discipline would produce disciples. Is that sort of getting it? For the lack of time, maybe we'll just call that good enough. This is good. I'm going to just give some of mine, then I'm going to open it up to you again. I have a dream that my student would become an independent learner. Right? I don't know who said this. I always get mixed up. I'm not sure if it was Berlin Miller or Aristotle. Let it be said. Here's the quote. Let it be said of our students that they have learned how to learn, and that is sufficient. I can run with that. That to me is directive, because it tells me what kind of help I should be giving my students. Your job as a teacher is to guide them and use their mind to be thinking and to be learning, right? It's not giving them a ride in a little red wagon. In Spokane, near where I used to teach, and it had a duck pond, and it had a sign, do not feed the ducks. And it said there how one year they had this sign, so last year the ducks actually were too fat to fly. They couldn't launch. Right? So the city had to pay $150,000 to load them up in a car and drive them to Salt Lake City. I'd have been glad to do it for half that. But I mean, after all, how can you do that? You can do that in your students' lives too. You can feed the ducks too much that they fail to launch. They're too fat to fly. Okay? Let it be said of our students that they can learn, and that is sufficient. I have a dream that the school experience would make sense. And in other words, that students could see, at least in a measure, what is behind all this homework. What is behind algebra? What's behind staying up late? What is this thing of me having to get out of bed at night to load the wood box, if you please? Okay? I have a dream that school would make sense. I have a dream that students would be able to see the character development behind my rules and procedures. Okay? And I hope that they would understand that just like working out at the gym, bench pressing has little value in itself. But it's what it does for our muscles. And so it may be of little value to pick up the paper towels, as one of the other instructors was talking about, and little immediate value. I can walk over paper towels all day, and you can too, right? It's not that big of a deal. But it has something to do with character development. Okay? So I have a dream for my students that the school experience would make sense. That they would learn that the disciplines that transition to discipleship, that they would take on behaviors that enhance themselves and the kingdom of God. Maybe I'll not expand it further. I have a dream that they would not quit when the going gets tough. I have a dream that they would know and pursue the pleasures of a job well done. I have a dream that they would learn relationship-enhancing behaviors. Maybe another story with that. I had two girls, I think they were about 7th and 8th grade, that one of the things that I have a dream, I have a nightmare about, I'll say it that way, is a girl crying. Okay? I have a nightmare about that one, okay? You don't want to see a girl crying at school as an upper grade male teacher. Probably not as an upper grade lady teacher either. But one day there was a girl crying at school, and the reason she was crying, it was a big deal, folks. Get this, someone else had taken some chips out of her lunchbox. Right? And the perpetrator, the chip monster, was like saying, it's not a big deal, we do that all the time, I don't get what's going on. Right? What would you do in a situation like that? If you have a dream for your students that they would have relationships, that they would be able to understand and adopt relationship enhancing behaviors. One of the things you can do is put the monkey on the back of the person who was a perpetrator of it, right? And so, first of all, we sort of got them a little bit separated, and I asked the chip monster, I said, I'm assuming that you wonder as a friend still, oh yeah, oh, absolutely. I said, I don't get it. We said, we do this all the time. And I said, well, have you considered that maybe those chips were special to her? Well, she said, well, obviously. Well, I said, like, have you considered the reason they might be special? I said, like, for instance, I knew that her aunt was here visiting, and maybe her aunt, you know, brought them as a gift. And maybe she was thinking all morning about eating chips. Do you ever do that? Do you think all morning about? I do. Anticipation with food is a big deal to me. Anticipation is happening. I need to stop in the kitchen and figure out what we're having for lunch, which I didn't do today, so I'm a little bit uncomfortable. Right? No, she's hadn't thought about that. I said, I got it. I said, why don't you, assuming you still wonder as a friend, you obviously didn't know all the contributing factors here, why don't you fix it and tell me what you did by tomorrow morning? And of course, I was thinking something, right? About the same thing you're thinking right now. Bring chips, right? Restitution. Right? Well, what she did before tomorrow morning, it didn't take long at all until she had a little glass hummingbird, the kind you would buy on the streets of Mexico from some sort of glass shop or glass blowing place. And it was the envy of the girls, right? It was really, really cool. It was, in fact, a value of many potato chips. She got that and she gave it to her. And did you think that fixed it? You bet it fixed it. It jolly well fixed it. Now, if I would have went to her and says, give her that hummingbird. You see that? You were so nasty. You give it a gift to her right now. I'm not saying. You see what a dream can do? Back to you again.
What are some dreams for your students?
And by the way, that idea wasn't original with me at all. Right? Good teachers not only think, dream, and plan about their students, they beg, borrow, and steal. Big time. All the time.
Well, growing up and building up the youth group, the church, taking my place, teaching the word, just kind of like the future farmers.
Yeah.
Type of thing, but like in the church, just being servants.
School made enough sense to them and our way of doing life and community that they merge into becoming a servant community builder, taking place in the youth group, calling the shots, and organizing the volleyball game, if you please. That kind of stuff. Being a song leader. Being a science teacher. And that really, that's some of the reason I love to teach, is because of that richness of seeing what had been your former student taking a pack of little youngsters out to have a Sunday school class. That's rich. So seeing them, I don't know, grow up and grow into.
Yeah. I like those. I guess I have somewhat the same dream. Wanting to see my students as they grow older be aware of how they can affect their relationship with their peers.
Amen.
I want
10:45? Maybe we'll go to the last point. I really appreciate your input. And this is sort of an open-ended topic, isn't it? Because we never quite, you know, get finished with this thinking, dreaming, and planning business. That's why it's hard for teachers to go on vacation. You might go out to Newport this afternoon.
Sit on the shore.
And as you dig your toes into your sand, or sand into your toes, whichever I'm trying to say, and that's good. And all things balance, though. All right, number four, what are some problems with the dream? I would just suggest two. And that is, it might be unrealistic. I told you that I have a dream that school would make sense to my students. One year, a number of years ago, I walked out of this building with a firm conviction and with a solid upper lip that my students are not going to ever ask me questions about why, or I will never shut down a discussion about why. They will never ask that question without me just talking about it as long as we need to. School is going to make sense. Right? It didn't take too long for students to realize that I was operating off of a bit of a different paradigm than what I had been. And I guess we'll just hit fast forward and say it lasted for less than 6 weeks until I consciously crunched that dream together and threw it into the trash can and said, why? Well, because I said so. Right? What are some problems with a dream? It might be unrealistic. Right. Another problem with a dream is it might not be realized. And then you know what the Bible says happens next? You get what? S word. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. One of my friends had a lot of aspirations, and he got into school. I think it was about the fourth or fifth week. He was literally crying. A boy, a teacher, that's the thing you don't want to see at school, right? Teacher crying in frustration. He says, all my air castles, or all my dreams came crashing down. And that's what he told the board, and the board had to pack him back. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Any other problems with dreams that you're thinking of? So what I'm saying is, what we're suggesting, or what this part of the suggesting, while we're out there looking into the future, and we want our students to succeed, and we have all these goals and aspirations, and we're driving for it, we jolly well are dedicated about it, and we're down with the push cup, everything can be perfect. You're going to lose some. It's the nature of the field. Another story. I heard this story from right here. A teacher friend of mine, she married, and he was doing all the knightly things for his wife. And one of those knightly brave acts that he did is he bought a pony pack of tomatoes, little tomato plants at the gardening center, and brought them home and planted them for his wife ceremoniously. And while she looked on with greatest admiration, right? And later that afternoon, beloved said, there's only 5 plants here. I thought there were 6. He went out and went, sure enough, there was only 5 plants there. What in the world is going on? And they actually dug in the trash can and found it. Yes, there were 6 plants. What do you do? Later that evening, as they were sitting there looking over their nice little garden and feeling good about life in general, all of a sudden one of the tomato plants started shaking and it disappeared into the ground. Right? There were gophers that were pulling those things down. Right? And that's what's going to happen in your teaching. Some of the lessons and gophers you're just going to get. And you didn't even know there was a gopher there, but if the, over front of your eyes, after you have done such a great heroic job, it's just going to go... And then what are you going to do? Well, I'll get up tomorrow and go back to the garden center. Buy some more tomato plants. Keep on planting. That's what you need to do. You just need to keep on going. There will be those lessons that the gophers got. And even worse than that, there may be some students that the enemy of our souls get. I can talk about some of those. It's sad. It's sad. But we have today. You're given a terrific opportunity to make a life-changing differences in your students. So when those doors open, those students walk in, take that opportunity, even though even Jesus Christ can't help those who don't want help. He had Judas, you know, and he had lots of other sins. But keep on, keeping on. One of the things that makes the parable of the sower so beautiful is that that man flung seed all over the place. Right? And that vision has kept me going for many a year. If I'd have been the boss of the man sowing seed in that parable, I would have said, easy on the seed, man. You know this nothing's going to grow there. What ails you throwing it on that hard ground? Oftentimes with that parable, you see I went onto the four soils, which is wonderful. But that's not the only thing in that parable. The beauty of it, I've come to see in the fact that he just kept on flinging seed, because it was for God anyway. It wasn't that he was walking around with big peach baskets under his arm. It had to have fruit in there for his sense of well-being and life well-lived to be realized. No, we're called in the same way, just to be a sower and to sow seed. And to just keep on flinging seed. And some of the birds will get. You even see the birds getting. You even see the, it's not working out. Okay? What do? Well, take a lesson from the Energizer Bunny. No, take a lesson from Jesus Christ. All right, any other thoughts or comments? I'm done, if you are. Today then, God go with you, and you go with God, and let's be sure that our hearts and our minds are at the right place as we dream for our students. Thank you. You're excused.